Leader of the Islamic Revolution and Iranian president marked the National Tree Planting Day. Iran's foreign military spokesman says P5 plus one recent proposals were not against Iranian nations' rights. In a change of attitude, the P5 plus one group also underscores commitment to a diplomatic solution to Iran's nuclear issue. Iranian foreign minister calls for stronger cooperation among Persian Gulf countries. And Pakistani president says his country would push ahead with Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline despite U.S. pressure. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Niwan Shitsas. March 5th is marked as a national day of tree planting throughout Iran. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, also marked this occasion on Tuesday. The leader also criticized demolishing of forests. Ayatollah Khamenei also termed trees and plantations as divine blessings for the human societies, urging people and officials to safeguard the natural beauties. Iranian president has also marked the National Tree Planting Day in a ceremony attended by ambassadors of the non-aligned movement member states to Tehran. Addressing the ceremony, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said peace and justice are the demands of all nations. The president also said by planting a sapling for peace and friendship, Iran signaled to the world that all world nations are after peace and justice. During the ceremony, each of the NAM ambassadors also planted a sapling in a garden named after a NAM located in northern Tehran. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman said proposals put forward by the P5 plus one were not against Iranian nations' rights. Speaking at his weekly briefing, Rami Mehmanparast said the P5 plus one's attitude toward Iran and Almaty was different from the past and seemed more logical. And if they translate their words into action, the sanctions will fade away. He also confirmed the Iranian Foreign Ministry's recent remarks about gradual removal of sanctions on Iran and their connection with Iran P5 plus one talks in Almaty. Elaborating on a step-by-step strategy toward a breakthrough, he said, the two sides are expected to adopt measures in harmony with the steps taken by the other. Mehmanparast said the difference between Almaty talks and the two previous nuclear talks was that they did not talk about halting nuclear activities as a precondition. The P5 plus one group has underscored its commitment to finding a diplomatic solution to Iran's nuclear issue. The comment was made in a joint statement by the P5 plus one, which includes the United States, Russia, China, France, and Britain plus Germany. The group said they take note of the usual meetings held on February 27 and 28 in Almaty, Kazakhstan, to carry on a constructive diplomatic process, which will be pursued actively in the months ahead on the basis of reciprocity and step-by-step approach. The P5 plus one also noted that the objective behind next meetings will be to restore international confidence in the exclusively peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear program. Following the Almaty talks, Iran and the P5 plus one agreed to meet again in the city on April 5 and 6 to continue negotiations after holding expert-level talks in the Turkish city of Istanbul on March 17 and 18. The Iranian Foreign Minister has called for stronger cooperation among Persian Gulf countries, urging vigilance against a divisive enemy plot. Ali Akbar Saleh said religious, cultural, political, and economic commonalities require that Persian Gulf countries learn lessons from the past, look forward to a brighter future, and think of new horizons for cooperation and solidarity. Saleh also called on Persian Gulf liberal states to form a united front and prevent foreign intervention by bolstering security as well as economic and political cooperation in the region. The Iranian minister highlighted the geopolitical and geoeconomic significance of Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, given the region's vast energy resources. He further referred to the conflicts in the region and foreign invasions of regional countries, urging stronger ties among regional states in the light of the recent developments and the wave of Islamic awakening in the Arab world. Saleh also stressed the Islamic Republic's good neighbor policy and its goodwill gesture toward its Arab neighbors, recalling Iran's outspoken condemnation of the invasion of Kuwait in the early 1990s by the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Pakistani president says his country will push ahead with the long-awaited Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline despite U.S. attempts to hinder the project. Asif Ali Zardari said DIP is a project of immense importance to people of Pakistan, noting that his country desperately needs energy. The president stressed that Pakistan-Iran gas pipeline project should be seen as a measure taken to overcome the power shortage in the country. Pakistan says it suffers from a crushing energy crisis, and the construction of Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline aims to allay the energy shortage. Iran has already built 900 kilometers of the pipeline on its soil, and it has offered to finance and help build the 700 kilometer of the pipeline on the Pakistani soil. And now, Venezuelan Vice President Morata says Hugo Chavez died late on Tuesday after a long battle with cancer. Hugo Chavez changed Venezuela in fundamental ways, empowering and energizing millions of poor people who had felt marginalized and excluded. Chavez was given a diagnosis of cancer in June 2011. He had three operations from June 2011 to February 2012, as well as chemotherapy and radiation treatment, but the cancer kept coming back. The surgery and most other treatments were done in Cuba. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution and Iranian presidents mark the National Tree Planting Day. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the P5 plus one recent proposals were not against Iranian nation's rights. And a change of attitude, the P5 plus one group also underscores commitment to a diplomatic solution to Iran's nuclear issue. Iranian foreign minister calls for stronger cooperation among Persian Gulf countries. And Pakistani president says his country would push ahead with Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline despite U.S. pressure. Fresh clashes have broken out between Egyptian security forces and hundreds of protesters in the northeastern city of Port Said. On Tuesday, police fired an air and attacked the protesters with tear gas to disperse demonstrators who had gathered in front of a government building. Reports coming out of Cairo say the government is now considering giving the military full control to defuse tensions in Port Said. Port Said has witnessed violent protests since January. The unrest erupted after the detention of dozens of people in connection with a deadly soccer riot back in 2012. At least six people have been killed and hundreds more wounded since the latest wave of violence unfolded on Sunday. Egyptian protesters also want President Mohamed Morsi to pursue the goals of the revolution that toppled the former dictator Hosni Mubarak in 2011. The Syrian army says it has struck back at the foreign-backed militants who stormed the provincial capital of the northern Raqqa province. According to Syrian sources, heavy clashes continued in the city between Syrian troops and militants, and more troops are being sent to the city. The Syrian army says it has also targeted the location of the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Nusra front in the city. Meantime, opposition sources said the Syrian planes carried out air raids on state intelligence branch in the city after it was captured by the militants. Syria has been experiencing unrest since mid-March 2011, and many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence. Several international human rights organizations have accused foreign-sponsored militants of committing war crimes. The Iranian authorities have finally handed over the body of a young protester killed by regime forces to his family for burial. The body of the 20-year-old Mahmoud Isa al-Jaziri was given to his family on Tuesday, almost 2 weeks after his death. Hundreds of Bahrainis attended his funeral procession in the town of Nabi Saleh, south of Manama, with mourners shouting anti-regime slogans. Jaziri was hit in the head by a tear gas canister on February 14. Bahrainis have been staging demonstrations since mid-February 2011, demanding political reform and a constitutional monarchy, a demand that later changed to an outright call for the ouster of the ruling Al-Khalifa family following its brutal crackdown on popular protests. Scores have been killed, many of them under torture, violent custody, and thousands more detained since the popular uprising in Bahrain began. Saudis have staged a fresh anti-regime protest in the central city of Bardia to demand the release of political prisoners. They also urged the release of women and children recently arrested in the city for taking part in a protest gathering in support of political prisoners. On Friday, Saudi security forces arrested over 300 protesters, including 15 women, after hundreds of Saudis gathered outside the Investigation and Prosecution Bureau in Bardia to demand the release of political prisoners. Protests against the ruling Al Saud dynasty have recently spread from the eastern province to other parts of the kingdom, with people of Bardia threatening to stage a revolution against the regime. Saudi activists say there are more than 30,000 political prisoners, mostly prisoners of conscience, in jails across the kingdom. Now, farmers from all over Greece descended on the capital Athens to protest against austerity measures that have caused production costs to soar, affecting trade and their daily lives. Our correspondent has a scoop.
Unions representing farmers from the entire country gathered in central Athens on Tuesday. They took to the streets, raising their voice against austerity and salary cuts that the government has been implementing in the context of measures imposed by Greece's international creditors. They are asking for cheaper fuel prices, a VAT drop from 13% to 6%, as well as tax breaks. Prices have been soaring, they say, while their personal income keeps shrinking over and over again. Negotiating within a slumped economic environment, as well as tough ongoing negotiations with the Troika, talks recently broke down between the two sides and came to a dead end. Despite making little progress in talks with government officials, farmers last week agreed to end some 60 highway blockades that have been in effect for nearly a month throughout the country. A delegation of agricultural unions held a series of meetings with ministers in Athens last week, but they were told that fiscal constraints on the state budget prevented meeting their demands. Following the 27 billion euro reduction from 2009 to 2012 in expenditure cuts, another 12 billion are next online to be completed by 2014, bringing the total amount of cuts to almost 40 billion euros within 5 years. Revenues are also expected to show a contraction of some 9 billion euros by the end of 2014, leading Greece's creditors to revise their stand toward receipts. The new policy guidelines say there should be no additional tax burden on debt-strapped citizens, pointing with new interest at the expenditure and spending side of the equation. The Troika now seems to be focusing its attention on the closure of state agencies that will lead to a reduction in the number of civil servants. Latest data from Eurostat indicate that from late 2009 up to 2012, the sum dedicated to public sector wages has considerably dropped by 7.3 billion euros, while pensions and social benefits recorded a 3.9 billion euros trim.
Well, the Troika of international creditors is back to Athens to check on the progress made by the Greek government as far as the reforms and the privatization program is concerned. Some other social groups are raising their voice against protracted austerity imposed upon the Greek society. Greek farmers have gathered in downtown Athens to protest against the austerity imposed upon them, and as they say, they're not ready to leave until their demands are met. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kavar, Athens.
Now, Portugal plunged into a deep financial crisis in early 2008, and now insolvency threatens the heavily debt-ridden country. Unemployment has also reached a record high of 17.6%. People are unable to prepare their necessities. Our correspondent has a scoop from
Season sales should officially end in February. However, signs announcing discounts are still visible almost during all year. Economical crisis led consumers to reuse goods instead of buying new. Tradespeople try to counter with constant promotions. Amelia works here for more than one decade and found out today she will lose her job since the shop will close soon. It isn't an isolated case. Tradespeople don't know what else to do to keep their business open. Consumers' point of view is that at current times of low incomes and high unemployment, priorities to save money.
Portuguese Confederation for Trade in Services announced that this week a decline between 20% and 30% in sales. With these numbers, it's difficult to imagine how will shops like this survive in the future. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kevar, Lisbon.
Your wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.